311.
Good afternoon for yet another afternoon of the 311 Radio Show here another Sunday, be it the second Sunday of November 2022, and the year is almost gone. I am your host, Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins, and along with me this afternoon, I have Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer, none other than Mr. Andrew Taylor himself. Good afternoon to you,
sir. Good afternoon to you, sir, and good afternoon to all of our listeners.
All right. Well, you know, last week we had a wonderful show last week, and the week part of that we took it to the academy.
Yes,
we spoke to some of the recruits 2 summers ago. Then we had in one of the recruiting officers in Leticia Hunt last week Sunday. It was very enlightening to hear, and we had it from the recruit side and the instructor side. And today we're gonna have, you know, we do a bit of stats and all the other stuff.
All the other good stuff.
So today we go to speak to some staff, of course, because, you know, it is so customary over the years that when we hear your voice, we can think stats, but you are knowing it even more than just a stats capacity when we hear you, as you are part of the fire prevention and code enforcement unit. And by extension, your role has expanded quite a bit, just from not just the stats man that you were in previous times. But today we're going to touch a bit on some of those stats. And, you know, most of the time when we speak about stats, we generally talk commercial fires and house fires that we would say, what we would call them, private dwelling houses in fire service. Sometimes we touch on accidents. But there are so many other aspects of responses that we have, so many other types of emergencies and things that we respond to that the public sometimes not even aware of, believe it or not.
Correct.
But what I'll do is I'll let you start off with the statistics you have so far for us, and then we will dive a little further into our discussion.
Yeah, so even before I get into that stuff, like, I want to add to your sentiments. I thank the recruits who participated in the show, and also, of course, to Instructor Hunt, who gave up her time to actually record that show and give her perspective from the instructor's point of view.
Correct.
And you know, recruiting is very hard. It's a very, I don't want to say,
I would say a tedious process.
Tedious process. And I would use the word torture.
Yeah.
I may come up with the wrong way.
But the thing about it is, what is interesting that a lot of people don't even understand. They think that it's only the recruits who are under physical and mental strain, but the instructors as well go through quite a bit as a recruit. There's a saying that when the recruiting program begins, at the beginning of the program, the recruits are tired, and the instructors are fit. It's by the end of the program, the recruits are fit and the instructors are tired.
Well, actually, I believe that they're tired all the way through.
Correct.
Knowing about firefighting and about rescue, the instructors basically have to be there every step of the way with the recruits. Because for us in the fire service, everything is safety. Everything is safety. So to ensure that you know, injuries to the recruits or to anyone else, the instructors, even though they are showing the recruits what to do and basically guiding them through, they still have to be there for everything. So it's not like they can leave the recruits
unattended.
Correct. And go and do their own thing or go and get some rest or anything like that. So kudos to everyone at the academy. You know, they're working hard trying to prepare, let's call it, the next generation of firefighters. You know, and we are always happy to have a few extra good men and women, because recently we've been seeing an increase in female applicants.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so you know that.
Actually, we had 3 female recruits. The week that we had the recruits, there were 3 female recruits.
Correct.
2 females. So
I think things are definitely changing. The face of the fire service is definitely changing. Before you would have seen almost all men. Obviously, it's still majority men, but we are very happy to see that young women are interested in joining the ranks of the Barbados Fire Service. That means that I can retire a little earlier.
But as you are on the topic of the changing face of the department, it would have slipped my mind last week, and I would like to say at this point, I would like to extend congratulations to Division Officer Marlon Small,
yes,
for being appointed officially, you know, in the capacity as Division Officer. So,
and our Firearm Safety Manager.
He happens to be our Firearm Safety Manager. He is no, you know, he was in the acting capacity, but he now has the official role as Division Officer. So congrats to you, Division Officer Small.
Correct, correct. And welcome to the fold, because I'm not sure if we welcome him to the fire prevention family.
You know, that is officially on the show. He was officially made some appearances on the show over the year, over the past couple of months.
As the training officer,
but now in this capacity as the fire and safety manager, we welcome him aboard officially, and now in his official capacity as well as the
division officer.
So a very official man.
Yes.
It's his time too, because you know this is the month of independence.
Yes, and remember the parade.
He's very keen on it. He loves his parades. He's very into them. So this is definitely his thing. One of the things to introduce him, for sure.
So you definitely have to get him on the show.
That's true, actually. That's very true.
And people here are the voice of our new boss, basically.
Very true.
For prevention.
So we're putting out there in the public, Division Officer Small, so you know what has to be done.
Yeah, correct. Step forward, I mean, don't take
it. All right,
so yeah, so getting to the stats, happy to see it once again. I'm honestly excited that every time I come on the show, that I can report that fires are still heading in a downward trend.
So we're doing something right.
We're doing something right. Yeah. So we're at 910 fires for the year to date, compared to 1,097 for the same time last year. So that's 910 fires to date compared to 1,097 for the same period of 2021. What is worrying though is that we have seen an increase in residential fires. Okay, so we are at 63 for the year so far, compared to 57 for the same period last year. But as we would have mentioned a few shows ago, the factor that we have to look at there is the amount of unoccupied
homes.
Because the one recently that I think that was Tuesday morning in my home.
Yeah, we had one. Tuesday last week,
Tuesday last week in my home. That was an unoccupied
night into morning, something like that. Yeah. Was that sometime in that period? Another unoccupied
house. So once again, we can see how these unoccupied and derelict homes are really, as you say, spiking our stats in terms of the residential fires. So even though yes, we are having residential fires, we don't want people to be too alarmed, because as I said, if we had to break down the stats even further, we'd realize that if we had 15 fires over the past few months, that the majority of those fires would be
or
derelict houses. And once again, we're appealing to homeowners. If you have a home and for whatever reason, you can't live in a house at this point in time, try to find some way to board up the home, secure it in some form or fashion, so that you know you can keep out people who don't have a right being in the home. Because let's even look at it this way. Let's say the reason that you could not move in was because of some financial issue. But you still have your home, you still have the land there.
Correct.
And you are thinking that at some point in time, things will get better and you can, you know, start building again. But no, look at it. Some stranger that you would never probably meet moved into your home. They were doing whatever activities they were doing in the home. I know they basically burned your investment flat.
So all of the work that you would have put in previous now, basically gone, as you're saying, from Bayesian finance to shambles.
Correct.
And to add to what you were speaking about, because you said about boarding up your place and so on, why would I like to add, because I happened to pass where one of the recent dialects were, and I, one of the things that stood out was the amount of grass and I would say unnecessary debris that is around the house. And that is something, because those type of environments then create and a welcome and an encouragement for persons to find a way inside and basically make it theirs.
Exactly.
You know, if you have it clear, even though you may not be living there, even though it might be an abandoned home, whatever the case, if you keep it as clear as possible, the chances of somebody who's not supposed to be there infiltrating your property would be a lot less, because they would be mindful that somebody would see them. But if you have it full of bush around and so on, then persons can sneak in and sneak out without being seen. And what that does, what was fortunate for us, I think, in the last one we had in the bank hall one, mm-hmm. what was fortunate for us is that there were no what we call exposures. There was no real dangers surrounding that particular spot. But had there been, we would have had a different challenge because of the anybody who has experienced or have been around or have seen house fires will know that sometimes, and we spoke to it here, where sometimes the superheated gases help catch the surrounding homes and so on and so forth. So these are things.
The radiated heat.
The radiated heat. Sorry, that was the word.
Yeah.
The radiated heat help catch the house next door. And if you have grass and debris and so on growing up around your place, while then that adds to the possibility and probability of if there's another house in close proximity being affected by, you know, some form of relatively lawlessness or otherwise.
Because and as you said, which is a very good point, the good thing for us where that part was concerned was that there were no exposures in close proximity. But we actually went in a few city areas recently, basically doing some welfare checks in some neighborhoods. And there are a few areas that are of high concern to us because we actually saw a house, and this house literally had so much debris around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is a house that people are occupying.
Correct.
And this house has so much debris around it, signs and doors and I mean, there were so many things around this home. And all one of our colleagues said, all that there just needs is a match.
Correct.
Or someone passing and tossing a cigarette.
Simple things.
And unlike the one in my hall, in that area, you have about three or four homes that are in very close proximity to that.
Which could add to your challenge, not only for the challenge for the firefighters who are that scene, but the challenge for the homeowners living within close proximity of that. And this is something that we have, I think, begged over and over on this show and in other forums, where we speak to people, keeping around them.
Correct.
We talk about housekeeping in the literal and figurative sense, housekeeping, good housekeeping practices. And one of the housekeeping practices, if there's grass around you, bush or rubbish or whatever you call it, you keep your grass as so low as possible. If you have debris that you need to basically rake up, bag it, get it carried away, whatever the case may be, do that. You know, all of the excess stuff that you have around your house that is not relevant or not needed creates then what we call fuel, literally fuel for fire spread.
Correct.
In the case of
an emergency. It was a nice fire load.
Correct. Fire load. And, you know, it's only when it happens that you realize. And, you know, it's funny because we, as you know, as we approach the end of the year, you know, coming into the new year, we always go into that, what we call our crop season.
Yeah.
And, you know, these things become, even though now the grass, a lot of the grass is green because we're having quite a bit of rainfall. But then when you go into when the year turns and you go into a more drier period, that grass then becomes dried and more susceptible to burning.
Correct.
And you know, as you said, an innocent person, somebody, a used cigarette, simple things like that, or somebody maliciously
Correct.
Light it and so on. And then you find that you may get a call over here, fire is coming to my house. And I always say to people, as long as you have that break between your house and the grass or whatever is growing, then you don't have to worry. But if you have grass growing to literally it's growing on your house, then you're going to have a serious problem when things like that happens.
So even staying a little bit longer on our always being here the unoccupied and derelict homes. Two days ago, I think it was a Friday or Thursday.
Well,
last week. A lady called me and she asked me if, you know, if either myself or the officers in the fire prevention unit could actually go and take a look at one of these abandoned homes. Because she has a special interest in it. And she asked if we could pass and take a look and see the state of the home, and because she thinks it's a fire hazard.
Oh, she lives in proximity of it?
Well, no, she does not live in proximity, but she has concern. Interest right in the property. But she sees it as a fire hazard, mm-hmm. and even stepping on from there, a few other persons have been calling in and basically telling us, okay, there's a home in my neighborhood. People go in there and do whatever illegal mm-hmm. activities. It's abandoned, but I believe it's a fire hazard. What can you tell us to do? How can you help us? So I'm happy that people are listening to the show and are hearing, you know, hearing the things that we are saying and are actually reaching out, asking us for advice, asking us for help. Because honestly, you asking us for help keeps us sharp.
Yeah, because then we keep us aware as well. Because
of what is
a lot of right, a lot of these, some of them we might be or might not be aware of.
Correct.
In addition to that, when I heard you speak about persons living in the community and seeing these hazards, it also creates another hazard. And this is more from the police perspective now in terms of security.
Correct.
Because if you have an abandoned structure near you and it's unkept in terms of grass and soil building around it, then it means persons can do a lot of, as you would say, illegal activity, but illegal activity to the point that it becomes a danger to the neighbors within that community. From a criminal perspective. So there's so many things that we always say that, you know, you don't see, but one flaw, so to speak, has a downward spiral in so many different aspects.
Community. We just had a perfect example there of how fire prevention and crime prevention have overlapped,
mm-hmm.
because we're looking at the derelict homes from a fire prevention point of view.
Correct.
And of course, the police are looking at it from a crime prevention mm-hmm. point of view.
Exactly.
Because, you know, a lot of, especially a lot of business owners, sometimes we may go into a store and they will have 40 cameras inside the store and not one smoke alarm. You know?
That is something that kind of, you know, there's a program on one of them. The stations are on in Barbados. It's what drives me crazy. That is one of the things that drives me crazy. The fact that, you know, these are the things that you see persons have, your place is well equipped with cameras. And I always grew up hearing my mother and a lot of older people say the thief will carry away some fire carries away all.
Correct.
So if your priority, you got to understand priorities. And if the same way you're thinking about security and not people not stealing from you, you have to also think of fire not taking everything that you work so hard for.
Because what people don't realize is that it only takes one of those same cameras that you have word, you know, to have a charge and spark,
yep.
and then you have a fire. Yeah, so we just want to remind people that, you know, fire prevention is
our intention. You know,
and it is important. You know, I always push that. It should not be second nature.
Yeah.
It should be part of your daily routine.
So as I say in gym terms, it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle, correct? For prevention, lifestyle. So as we were saying earlier, you know, there are a lot of the other categories of
incidents
that we respond to. And
persons here
mention a few of them.
Persons here speak to commercial and house owners in terms of fires most of the time. Everybody knows about grass during the crop season. We know about motor vehicles.
Rubbish fires,
that kind of stuff. They're also what we consider pole fires. Now, you might not see a pole engulfed for you most of the time. You might not, but things like a pole sparking, you find a lot of that happens during the rainy period. And around this time here, you're getting that night rain and so on. Sometimes that's the only time the persons will see it, because during the night, you may hear it, you will hear that pops, or you may see little sparks coming from the pole. And we would get a lot of calls around the rainy season where that is concerned. Gas leaks is something that we also attend. And people, I think a lot of people take those for granted sometimes, but a gas leak is very serious because, you know, depending on the amount of gas that we don't, because obviously it's not something you can see, You may smell it, you can hear it at times,
correct,
but you're not able to see it. So sometimes a simple thing like use your cell phone, radio sex, like what we use sometimes, even at gas stations, so we advise that you use them and that kind of stuff. You know, so there are a lot of different aspects that we go, incidents basically that we go to. And in terms of like non-emergencies as well, because we do a lot of non-emergencies. Correct. A lot of people don't know, I think they underestimate what we do. We do a lot of we fill in the pools, obviously that comes with a cost and something supplying of water. You pump your water during the rainy period.
Floods, yeah.
Flooding and so on, you pump water. We do something, and this is more the guys who work at the airport fire station and on the airdrome side of it, weather standby, refueling standby. I don't think people understand the severity of simply refueling an aircraft.
Correct. Especially with people on board.
Exactly. and these are things. As a matter of fact, I've heard some stories already here. Guys told me that you literally had to, you had to run persons from beneath the aircraft trying to steal a smoke. I mean, these are, you know, and unlike we think gasoline and kerosene is flammable, but we,
water.
You know, when we speak of aviation fuel, you know, there's
jet A1 is very, very special.
It's very special.
That's the best thing.
That's very special. So there are a number of things. Some things you assist persons in gaining access, because we've had it on numerous occasions where business persons would either forget the key or something happened. They did. As long as they can verify that they're the owner of this place, then we sometimes we'll have to go and render that assistance to get them to help them get entry into their property, providing elevation. Only a few weeks ago, somebody reached out about a flight pole. We couldn't help in that instance because, and it's interesting because the lady said, the person said to me that the pole was lean or something like that, and they wanted to know what we could do in terms of that. So that was more Mason job. And I was just explaining to them that what we would do is like if the flag got caught up on the top or something, sometimes the wind blows it in the wrong position, or sometimes when you're taking it down, putting it up, one of the ends get away from you and go up to the top and you can't reach it. As long as RCLP, which is called my ladder platform, for those who don't know, as long as that ladder truck in a stable area that it can reach and set up, we would assist in taking that flag down or taking out the cord that goes with the flag and so on. So these are a number of things that we, you know, that we do along with the things that people are accustomed to seeing us what they're doing. I remember one time I mentioned to a person that we even assist sometimes in rescues or even sometimes in recoveries, you know, in terms of persons who were found, depending on where they are, really, really trained persons that are related to rescue, and we may have to rescue persons from all types of different places. So there are a number of different aspects of our job that make up the amount of incidents you would hear about, the amount of fires we've had in a particular year, maybe the amount of accidents and so on. But when you look at the incidents, you will see that the number is even greater than that, because incidents don't only constitute a house fire, a commercial fire, or an accident,
or emergencies,
or an emergency for that matter, because they basically do a lot of non-emergency.
And because actually, I did there almost 60 different categories. If we had to go through,
at least all of
our stats one by one. So actually, almost 60 categories. So these are almost 60 different things that we would have actually responded to.
Flushing areas and so on.
The thing is, people always see the fire service as a place of help.
Correct.
So emergency or non emergency, people are going to
naturally gravitate
and come to you, because they always believe that fire officers can help in some way, because as you mentioned, in terms of the flagpole, so if people will actually call us and ask us for advice on some things
far removed from
fire service.
Correct.
But they just seem to think that we have all the answers.
In fact, I would
be going directly to someone.
To someone. That is true. I would go even a step further in the last, as we wrap up in basically 2 minutes and change right now, I know from experience in working with the controls center that you get some calls that some strange times in the morning for persons who basically just want a listening ear. Nothing else. And I mean, I am not sure if it happened. I'm pretty sure it might have happened in police, ambulance, and those that are emergency. But that's these are the type of things that people reach out, you know, the expectation that the fire service is always there. So it's just, we do try our best in as many instances as possible to be there for the public and assist the public. As you know, we are supposed to be public servants, and that's what goes with the territory. So. But you know, once again, we have served our time here as well today, so we're gonna have to strike it with balance. We like to say, strike it with balance. Yeah.
Well, only thing that we are not going wrong.
We are not going wrong. But you know, I want to say thank you again to you, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Andrew Taylor, for always being a part of the show and. You know, giving your input and always that person to do that stats research and so on. I see you have raised Charles quite well. She's done it on a few occasions as well. We've got to get her in the booth.
We must.
And, you know, get those stats, keep those stats up to speed. But thank you once again for being a part of this week's 311 Radio Show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I have been your host, Fire Officer. Fire and Life Safety Officer. I got it.
But you're still a
fire officer. I'm still a fire officer, yeah. You know, but the whole thing is... But I'm your host, Fire and Life Safety Officer, Jason Collins, and with me I had Mr. Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer, Andrew Taylor, and this has been another edition of the 311 Radio Show. Just remember, if you miss any of today's proceedings, you can follow the VOB's podcast, www.vob929.com, or you can go on the Facebook page and view it and watch it as well on the VOB's Facebook page, vob92.9fm. That has been a wrap. Have a wonderful week. Good afternoon to you, Barbados. And as we always say at the end of every 311 Radio Show, fire prevention is our intention. Bye bye for another week.
You can depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.